The news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. The remnants of Hurricane Beryl have been streaming through New England, triggering flash flooding. Vermont has been hard hit. This week's weather comes exactly 1 year after historic flooding in Vermont caused an estimated $1 billion in damage. Vermont Public's Michaela LaFrac reports.
At the Innervale Community Farm in Burlington, farm employees and community volunteers wearing muck boots and raincoats pulled vegetables from the soggy fields. Kale, carrots, eggplant, and more. Andy Jones is the farm's manager.
We're trying to get as much as we can out this morning. You know, the community support is tremendous, and that's really part of what gets us through the whole thing.
This week, last year, floodwaters caused near total crop loss at the farm. Many Vermont communities are also experiencing deja vu from last year, though so far the storms are less extreme. In Barrie City, 25 people stayed in a state-run shelter last night, and many bridges and roads across the region are damaged or destroyed. For NPR News in Burlington, I'm Michaela LaFrac.
The Biden administration says the U.S. will enter into an agreement with Canada and Finland to build a fleet of polar icebreaker ships. As NPR's Jackie Northam reports, the agreement is part of a broader effort to deter Russian and Chinese aggression in the Arctic.
The U.S. Coast Guard for years has pleaded without luck for more icebreakers. At the moment, the U.S. has only two that are well past their sell-by date. The agreement involves building a consortium of shipyards across the U.S., Finland, and Canada, bringing the expertise from all three countries to quickly and efficiently build more icebreakers. Senior administration officials say it's an urgent strategic priority to combat Russian aggression and limit China's ability to gain influence in the high north. Russia has a fleet of more than 40 icebreakers and more in production. Jackie Northam, NPR News.
Stocks open higher this morning after the Labor Department delivered a better-than-expected report on last month's inflation rate. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose about 66 points in early trading.
Consumer prices in June were up just 3% from a year ago. That's a smaller annual increase than the previous month and smaller than forecasters had expected. The cost of living actually fell slightly between May and June as a drop in gasoline prices more than outweighed the modest monthly rise in rents. Grocery prices rose just 0.1% during the month, while restaurant prices rose 0.4%. Airfares and new and used car prices were down in June. So-called core inflation, which excludes volatile food and energy prices, was also somewhat better than expected. At 3.3%, it's the lowest in more than 3 years. Investors are betting that will clear the way for the Federal Reserve to start cutting interest rates in September. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
On Wall Street, the Dow is now up 65 points. This is NPR. President Biden is scheduled to hold a solo press conference later today in Washington. This comes at the conclusion of the NATO summit. Biden's remarks will be closely watched following his disastrous debate performance last month. Some congressional Democrats have asked Biden to leave the presidential race. That now includes Vermont Democratic Senator Peter Welch. Biden says he is staying in the race. More testimony is expected today in New Mexico in the criminal trial of actor Alec Baldwin. He has pleaded not guilty to involuntary manslaughter for the shooting death of a cinematographer on the set of the movie Rust in 2021. Director Joel Souza was wounded by the gunfire. NPR's Mandalay Del Barco reports on yesterday's opening statements.
Nearly 3 years ago, actor Alec Baldwin was pointing a prop gun on the movie set of Rust. It went off, killing cinematographer Helena Hutchins and wounding the film's director. Special Prosecutor Erlinda Johnson said Baldwin didn't do a safety check of the Colt 45.
The evidence will show that someone who played make-believe with a real gun and violated the cardinal rules of firearm safety is the defendant, Alexander Baldwin.
But Baldwin's attorney, Alex Spiro, argued that the film's armorer and others were responsible for letting a live round onto the film set and into the gun.
Those people failed in their duties, but Alec Baldwin committed no crime.
Spiro said the shooting was an accident and not intentional. Mandalit Del Barco, NPR News.
And I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News, from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. Its Secure Our World program is aimed at encouraging people to use strong passwords and a password manager. CISA.gov/secureourworld.
Welcome back to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. We'll learn more about the upcoming Calicoon Depot project in just a moment. But first, we have a special guest on the line to talk to. It's our intern, Ben Austin. Ben, good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. And I wanted to have you on because you work behind the scenes for us. And maybe folks don't know that we have an intern. We have a couple of interns. You're one of them. You work remotely and you're at American University in D.C., right?
Yes, I am. I'm down in D.C. right now, a couple hours south of you guys.
And you're a junior in studying journalism. What is it about, working at a public radio station when you're studying more kind of journalism stuff that appealed to you and wanted to sign up to become an intern here?
I grew up as an NPR kid. It was always on in the car. It was always on kind of at my house at home. And it's a type of journalism that I think I've engaged with a lot as a journalism consumer, and it's been really cool to help out on the other side of that and get to see sort of how things work on the back end and how a radio station runs, and that's just been a really fantastic experience for me.
I will just qualify that by saying that not every radio station runs like this. You're putting up with us and you're doing a great job. No, I'm just saying we're lean and mean and local here, and you are an integral part of that as an intern because we have a small staff and we rely on so many volunteers to help us out and our interns as well. You're contributing a great part of what we do. So we've been asking you to help us with some of the, like I said, behind the scenes stuff, but that's like posting stuff on social media, putting stuff up on the website, taking some of the stories that we've produced and shrinking them down a little bit into more of a 1 or 2 minute story. So how's that been going?
It's been going good. I do a lot of clipping of stories. I spend a lot of time listening back to interviews and pulling bits and pieces that are interesting to get sent to social media or to other stations. And that's been great. It forces me to engage with a lot of the content that's going on up in New York, which has been super duper interesting and cool to me. And it's, again, been great to see the way another station runs and to get to go to editors' meetings and all of those sorts of things and get that experience in another newsroom.
Yeah, and it's great that you are, it'd be great if you were here in person, but it's actually even really cooler to me in some ways that you're at American University at a really top flight journalism program, able to work remotely. And it just goes to show you and show listeners that you can be anywhere and not only contribute, but also to listen and also consume this content on so many platforms. I told the story the other day that I ran into someone from out of town who only comes to visit up here in the summer seasonally and said, oh, we can't get you. I'm like, no, you can. Like, you can stream. You could go do your smart speaker. You can go to the website. So are you getting a lot of that in your education there at American University in terms of multi-platform journalism?
Yeah, I think that's a big focus for a lot of up-and-coming journalists is I think the days of just getting the paper or just watching the TV at 6 o'clock are kind of over, and journalists need to go out of their way to try and reach people where they are. And those places are constantly changing. And I think we're always in a little bit of an arms race in terms of meeting people where they're at and making sure good and accurate news is in those places. And I think that through the website and social media and those other things, we're doing a good job of reaching people there, but also through the radio, because lots of people still do listen to that.
Yeah. And wherever people are consuming this content, they're seeing it as, Radio Catskill. This is our presence and our voice, our identity is on all of those platforms. So thanks for being part of that. Thanks for bringing it to our listeners. And letting listeners know that we're able to have folks like Ben help us out because of your support. We're listener-supported public radio, so we need your support right now during our summer fun drive. Call 845-482-4141 or go to wjffradio.org and make a donation to help us continue to be able to be on the air and to bring opportunities to folks like Ben. The children are the future. Whitney was right, I think.
Absolutely.
Ben, thank you so much. We'll let you get back to studies and thanks for all your help that you're doing with us right now, okay?
Of course. Great talking to you this morning. I hope you have a great day.
You too. Take care. All right. Again, it's our summer fun drive, and donate right now at 845-482-4141 or go to wjffradio.org. I'm Tim Bruno, and you're listening to Radio Chatskill. Project partners Calicoon Depot and the Calicoon Business Association and the Upper Delaware Scenic Byway are holding another public town hall meeting next week to discuss progress, provide updates, and gather community feedback on the highly anticipated adaptive reuse project at the Calicoon Train Depot in the hamlet of Calicoon. The event takes place July 16th from 6 to 8 at the Delaware Youth Center in Calicoon. Joining us now is Darko Riljanovic, president of the Calicoon Depot Incorporated and one of the project partners. Good morning, Darko.
Good morning. Nicely said.
Well, thank you. we talk about project partners here.
Yes.
Can you just reset and remind folks what the Calicoon Depot project is? You're the president of the Calicoon Depot project, or Calicoon Depot Inc., but there are these other stakeholders, as I mentioned. So who are these other stakeholders, and then sort of what's the project?
Sure. So the lease for the depot actually comes through the Calicoon Business Association. And we, as the Calicoon Depot Inc., sort of are the subsets. We do the development, the management, and programming associated with the depot. The Upper Delaware Scenic Byway is involved because they're looking to have a visitor center that will service the length of the byway, the 72 miles from Port Jervis all the way up to Hancock. And so the Calicoon Train Station was dedicated or assigned to take on this visitor center. And so we really have a dual role presently, which is to accommodate the needs of the visitor center, while at the same time our anticipation for the depot is that it becomes a community service and a community asset, and that it celebrates not only the hamlet of Calicoon, but all the skills and talents and availability of crafts and just the talent that's around Calicoon, and be able to showcase that in the depot itself. So it's a working relationship between really three different entities. Eventually, the Calicoon Depot Inc. will be responsible for the oversight and running of the depot. And so right now we're working in consort because we have similar interests and we support each other.
And the importance of the Upper Delaware Scenic Byway Visitor Center is key to this. I mean,
exactly.
It is definitely can be a community hub. You've done work as the president, the new president, to make it a little more visible, accessible with a few things. We can talk about that. But talk a little bit about the importance of this part of it. I mean, this is like a bigger organization. Is it a federal organization or I forget, it's multi-partner organization with Upper Delaware Scenic Byway.
Yeah.
But again, it's bigger. It attracts more people, basically.
Yeah. So, and we all have, in a sense, different focuses. And so the Upper Delaware Scenic Byway is really overseeing the whole length of the waterfront, let's say, along the Delaware River itself. And a lot of the programming and a lot of the efforts that they're doing is really the enhancement and engaging people in the community and the hamlets along the byway to stimulate interest and promote the quality of the Delaware River. As a focal point, fortuitously, Calicoon is almost midpoint, and so it's really easily accessible, but it also has a great advantage of being accessed by either 97 or 17. It's got the river frontage. It's got the bridge to Pennsylvania. So it is ideally located to provide a lot of services that promote the byway itself. And then it will be the visitor center. So the initial work, this is what we call the phase one, which has a $250,000 grant from the state, from DASNY, is to install and initiate the visitor center, which will then be functional and have staff and provide the information and the informational aspects needed associated with the availability and accessibility and the knowledge of what's happening along the waterfront.
So what's the point of your second town hall here? What is it you're trying to achieve here?
Right. So when we started the effort on the depot, sort of the new board that took over in January, we sort of have a two-pronged effort. One is to make sure that the visitor center is implemented. The second one is to really engage with the community and to show them progress. It's very difficult for people who are not involved to actually be able to gauge and see the sort of improvements and the work effort. And sometimes it can be prolonged. It's very bureaucratic. There's a lot of paperwork to be done. There's a lot of grants to be sought. And so some of that is not seen. And a lot of people just basically see the depot sitting there and think that nothing is happening. So what we wanted to do is make sure that we can hit both fronts, that we can accelerate the release of the monies and the grant so that we can make the improvements in the depot and get the visitor center in. But at the same time, there's no reason really to wait, is to activate the depot grounds themselves. And so through open houses and through town halls, we are reaching out to the community, giving them information, but also allowing them to participate, to engage, come and take a tour of the depot, get a sense of what we're working with, and actually begin the process of volunteering and donating to that effort. So we have successfully done what we do is on a monthly basis, the last Saturday every month, we do an open house. And that has to do with direct contact with the community. They can ask questions, they have concerns. They get a look at the depot, and we try to supplement it with events. Some of them are fundraisers, some of them are not. Then on a quarterly basis, we try to do a town hall to more officially have a forum where people can come and voice their opinions, get information about progress, and be able to gauge, you know, how what the expectations are and what our goals and objectives are, and be participatory in the process. We really want to be open about it. We want people to participate, and we've gotten a lot of great feedback through the open houses. People have been very positive about the efforts, that they are all looking forward to the idea that there will be a town square in Calicoon, and that they will have that option of being able to utilize the space either formally through an event or just casually being able to sit there with landscaping and benches and seating and shade trees and so forth. So the idea of the town hall is to give an update. I think it's been quite a while since the last one was done. And so we want to maintain that. We want people to know that on a quarterly basis, we're just going to dissipate a lot of information.
Time escapes me at this point, but I believe it was sometime last year that town hall occurred. And yes. I know that because I was the MC of that one. I'm going to resume that role this Tuesday as well. Happy to help facilitate questions and help community get more answers. And it's good to hear the transparency that you have set forth with the depot. A lot of people have questions. I'm sure you'll have questions about the grant.
Yes.
The grant is still there. You'll get some questions about parking.
Absolutely.
I know parking's a big issue in that town. I'm sure there's some other folks that are, you know, as you've kind of alluded to, they see it there and think that, oh, nothing's happening. But as you mentioned, there are things happening behind the scenes to get it going with these multiple stakeholders at the local, state, federal level.
Yeah. So, excuse me. Basically, several things are happening that people can get engaged with. One, obviously, is the knowledge about the grant and the processing. But, you know, we have a GoFundMe. We have opportunities for people to donate. We're looking for volunteers to contribute, both in terms of their time and efforts. Simple things like we have landscaping. We need watering. People to volunteer and tend the plants. There are certain initiatives around the depot that we could use volunteers for. So there's that level of engagement. And also, you were asking before our relationship with the Calicoon Business Association. So we also work jointly, cognizant of what they're doing. Like, for instance, in 2 weeks, on July 27th, will be a large country fair that is going to take place in Calicoon. That is not a depot initiative. That's a hamlet of Calicoon, a Calicoon Business Association effort, and engages the whole community. So we'll be participatory. But it's something that we contribute to, but it is part of a much larger programming effort. And there's going to be music, and there's going to be 60 vendors and all this. So it's a big town event, and those kinds of things are scheduled for the year. There are other ones upcoming, but between those is where we want to weave on a sort of a different layer and be able to create events where on a more casual basis people can come over, a more intimate basis, I should say, they can come and engage in all these different events. And so the town hall is, I think, just a more formal way to address people's concerns. We thank you that you're going to be moderating there. And as you said, there are contentious issues, and we're going to address them. We're not trying to hide anything. But I think people need to realize that we're a nonprofit, that we're there to embed the community and to contribute to the welfare and the quality of life in the hamlet of Calicoon, and celebrate what that hamlet is about, what Sullivan County is all about. You know, we don't have an agenda. We're not trying to prohibit anything happening. But I think, like you say, parking is a very contentious issue. But people need to realize that the depot is leased through the railroad. It is private property. We have certain issues and liabilities that we are responsible for and was never a municipal parking area. We've allowed parking because until we have programming occurring there, there is really no reason to become really adamant about it. The problem is that we've had damage occur on the grounds because it's a very limited area. Mm-hmm. So it's very difficult to maneuver cars. And mm-hmm. so invariably we've lost power lines, we've lost railings, we've lost planters, we've lost all sorts of things. And so that needs to be addressed, but it's a much bigger issue. It is not about depot parking. It is about, you know, this is an issue that a lot of hamlets would love to have, you know, that parking is a concern. And it occurs on certain weekends. It's not all the time. And it's something that needs to be discussed on a bigger forum. And that's why I think the town hall is a good opportunity for people to voice their concern, but also to express their support that in balance of everything that's happening in Calicoon, the town could utilize certain things and needs to address certain issues. And these are things that we're going to be addressing.
Good chance for folks to answer those questions. Let's remind folks where they can get more information about the town hall coming up on the 16th.
Right. So let's see. I always get confused on these things. So our webpage is www.thecalicoondepot.org. And if you want to send us an email, you can send it to allaboard@thecalicoondepot.org. And as you mentioned, the town hall is on the 16th. It's from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Delaware Youth Center, which is right there in the hamlet on the extension of Lower Main Street.
That's Darko Ruljanovic, president of the Calicoon Depot Incorporated, one of the project partners for the Calicoon Train Depot Adaptive Reuse Project in Calicoon. Town hall again is coming up on the 16th. Thanks for being here, and I'll see you Tuesday.
Thank you. Yeah. See you soon.
Thanks. All right, we'll take a break. And when we come back, 60 years of arts and antiques in Honesdale. You're listening to Radio Chatsco.
Hi, I'm Brent Jones, senior news apps developer at NPR.
I'm Casey Morrell, and I produce the NPR Politics podcast.
My name is Kristen Hartman. I'm the senior manager of business development at NPR.
I work in public media for a lot of reasons, but the main one is that first word, public. What we do is available to everyone, everywhere.
I started at NPR answering phones when listeners called. And I stay in public media because I'm just insatiably curious about what we can do and create when we all work together.
I've worked in public media for more than a decade because I believe it's important to help people understand the world around them, how we got here, what's happening now, where we're going, and why it matters to all of us.
Help keep public media strong today by making a donation to this station. Here's how, and thank you.
Give now at WJFFradio.org.
Donate now. Be cool. It's our summer fun drive. We need your support. 845-482-4141 or go online to WJFFradio.org and help keep our community inspired and informed. I'm Tim Bruno, and this is Radio Chatskill. The Women's Club of Honesdale is celebrating their 60th year of their annual art and antique show and sale this weekend. Club members have lined up great artists, authors, and antique dealers for a selection of great antiques and art, plus appraisal services. Joining us on the line right now is Nancy Derman of the Women's Club of Honesdale to tell us more. Nancy, good morning.
Oh, good morning. You've said it all.
Okay, well, thanks for being here. Nancy, 60 years, congratulations.
Yes, that's a long time. Of course, I haven't been around all that time.
No.
we have had quite a group of ladies over the years that have put this together, and we're still going strong, and it's getting better every year.
That's great. Let's talk about some of the things you have lined up for the 60th year and the sale and show this weekend.
Uh-huh.
You've got some great artists and art dealers coming, a really talented group. Can you tell folks who's coming?
Yes, we have a lot of local artists as well as one as far away as Florida coming up for it. Excuse me. we have returning artists, and we have... they're all listed, by the way, on our website. So if anyone is interested to see the entire list of artists, antique dealers, and authors, because we have authors, local authors, bringing their books.
Yeah.
And they will be available to sign their books both Saturday and Sunday. But the entire list is on our website, womensclubofholmesdale.com.
Yeah, so you've got a big list. Can't get through all of them. There's some new folks coming in as well. And I mentioned that you've got a couple of special things, too. Not a lot of art shows and antique shows have this. You have on-site appraisals. Tell folks about that.
Yes, yes. Maggie Winchester, who has her own auction and antique deal. She's an antique dealer, and she has auctions, and she does, it's like a mini roadshow, antique roadshow, and if you bring your article, it's $5 per item, and you're allowed up to 5 items, and she will appraise it for you, give you as much background as she can, and give you what she thinks it's worth. I mean, not give you, she won't pay you, but she will give you an estimate of what she thinks it's worth.
Oh, that's really cool.
She's been coming for several years now, and everyone looks forward to that.
Nancy, talk about how you got involved with the Women's Club of Honesdale and why you're involved.
Oh, well, I've been involved for about 8 years. At the moment, I'm serving as president. I've been president since before COVID, and we have a wonderful group of ladies who run the show and come back every year and just do a lot of work. We get a grant from the Pocono Mountain Visitors Bureau for publicity, so we're able to get the word out. We are on social media, but I've joined because I was new to the area and wanted to meet some nice people and get involved in the community, and it certainly has worked out well for me. And we invite anybody who's interested to come out and reach out to one of us at the show. We'll all be wearing, this year we're going to be wearing orange or yellow vests, so you can identify us very easily. I guess that's a good thing.
I guess so. You'll find out about an hour into Saturday whether that's a good thing,
yes,
or not, right?
Exactly. So we're welcoming to anybody who would like to come out and join us. And it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, I mean, this sale is a big fundraiser for you, your main fundraiser. And the proceeds from this event, you guys, move that toward other community organizations and to scholarships and charities. Can you tell folks about some of the ways that you use the proceeds from this antique show and sale to benefit the wider community?
Well, we give out scholarships, usually 3 scholarships to high school seniors, $1,000 each. We make enough from this antique show. It's basically our only fundraiser during the year. And we make enough to give out the scholarships. We give to all the local nonprofits. We give out donations to the fire companies, the library, Destin Animal Shelter. We try to give back everything we make. So it goes right from the public's hands through our hands and then back out into the public.
Well, that's a real community spirit there. So let's remind folks about the 60th Annual Art and Antique Show, the times and location for this weekend.
Yes, it's Saturday and Sunday this week, 13 and 14. It's Saturday from 10 to 4 and Sunday from 10 to 3. And also this year we have put together a cookbook that we're selling, and I'm sure people who have come in the past know that we ask each member of the club to bake a pie, and then we sell our slices of pie, and we have quiche and hot dogs, so we have a lot of good food to keep people, keep their strength up while they're shopping, and we have put together a cookbook from the various members who have donated food in the past to our meetings and to the show. So that will be available this year, which is new.
Do you have a recipe in the cookbook, Nancy?
I don't personally, but I was given a recipe by one of our 50-year members who has passed away. She used to make a really good chocolate cherry cake, and I remembered that, and I got her recipe, and I put it in the cookbook.
Okay, that's great. So you can get that at the 60th annual Art and Antique Show at Wayne Highlands Middle School Gym this weekend in Honesdale. You can get all the details at womensclubofhonesdale.com. We've been talking to Nancy Derman, who is the president of the Women's Club of Honesdale. And Nancy, I'm supposed to be fundraising here on Saturday, but you had me at pie. I might have to find someone to fill in.
Well, you'd certainly be welcome, and make yourself known. Find one of us in a vest.
I'll look for you. I'll look for you in the yellow vest if I can get away. Nancy, okay, thank you so much. Have a great show.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, another art show happening in Honesdale, Wayne County. It's the Wayne County Arts Alliance. Lots going on this summer. We'll tell you more about it after this. This is Radio Chatskill.
I'm Lauren Migaki. I'm a coordinating producer for NPR. A coordinating producer is someone who goes in the fields wherever there's a big news event happening and acts as event planner and scheduler and script proofreader. Often it just means you're the problem solver on the ground. So anything that the reporters need to do their job, you're kind of there to help with. You know, the beauty of it is that you get to support people who are telling people's stories that you can't get if you're not on the ground. Making sure that they have power strips and showers, things like that, it feels like you're part of this bigger team effort to help tell the story. I think it's so important to have eyes and ears on something as small as a school board vote to as large as a global conflict. There's a lot that goes into reporting a story that doesn't always get seen, but is crucial to doing the story, and we could not do that without listener donations.
Keep public radio in the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. Give now at wjffradio.org. Thank you for making Radio Catskill part of your summer, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Please take a moment to help ensure we will always be here for everyone who needs us. Become a sound supporter now by making a sustaining contribution of $20, $30, $40 a month or more. Or make a one-time donation of any amount. Go to wjffradio.org to make your donation. That's wjffradio.org. Thanks.
Or you can call us here at 845-482-4141. Make a donation of any amount to support local public radio here in the Catskills, Northeast Pennsylvania, and beyond. And this is Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno. And each year, the nonprofit Wayne County Arts Alliance hosts a studio tour to provide an opportunity for people to meet established and emerging local artists right in their studios and also in alternative art spaces. This weekend, there are 19 artists working in a variety of media, from painting to ceramics, at more than 15 locations throughout Wayne County. Joining us now to tell us more is Janet Ganglione from the Wayne County Arts Alliance. Janet, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me today.
Well, thanks for being here, and thanks for telling us about this studio tour. 19 artists, 15 locations. This sounds like a great event for someone to be able to stroll to different places and see the artists, I guess, sort of in their element.
Absolutely. It's a great opportunity to get up close and personal, talk to the artists, see where they create their art, see how they create their art, and get a first peek at some of their latest creations. Strolling might work for some of the studios, but this is a Wayne County project. So driving is the best way to get to some of these studios. We're rather stretched all over Wayne County this year.
Got it. And the Wayne County Arts Alliance hosts many exhibits and shows right there on Main Street into your location. So why do a studio tour than, you know, just another exhibit or show?
Because it's completely different to see where the artist makes the art, have an opportunity to talk with them and see some of their works in progress, which is a wonderful opportunity and different from a finished gallery exhibition. So we want to do both. The studio tour, this is our 21st annual tour. It's been going on since the Arts Alliance was established in 2003. Our gallery is new, and we're very excited to have two ongoing exhibits there now for people to enjoy as well.
Tell us a little bit about some of the 19 artists that are on this tour this year.
The great thing about the studio tour is that we have such a variety. We have painters, we have ceramic artists, we have two artists that do metal sculptures out of steel and all kinds of other metal. We have printmaking, we have map making, and everything in between. We actually have five artists this year that are new to the tour. So if you've been on the studio tour in past years, there's new artists to see. And of course, each of the same artists have new work to show off. And some of our artists work in more than one medium. They're painters and photographers, like Bill Westmoreland, who's in the northern part of Wayne County.
And, you know, there's a I guess, a narrative about artists that maybe, you know, working alone or working in private. Did you find that it was challenging or is it easier to attract people to have people come into their studios for this tour?
Well, certainly there are some artists that don't want visitors, and that's their choice. We do have artists that do want to be able to show off their art. And sometimes it's fun for the artist to be able to talk about what they do in addition to doing it. And it's usually some very positive feedback from the visitors as well. It's a major project for the artist, though, to get their studio all set up and open to the public and be there from 10 to 6 each day for 3 days in a row. So it's a lot of work for them. And hopefully they'll get some good feedback and get some sales of their art.
Yeah, it's like having a dinner party for 3 days in a row, having people come around. I'm looking at the map at your website, WayneCountyArtsAlliance.org. And as you said, they're kind of spread out. But there's something good about that as well, to see that it's not just concentrated in one area.
Yes, well, the opportunity to go to these different studios gives you the opportunity to explore parts of Wayne County. We have beautiful countryside here, and some of that natural countryside is what inspires some of our artists for their landscape paintings and photography and things like that. Certainly, artists have many inspirations, so it's not all trees and rivers, but that does contribute to part of their art.
And some people who are on the tour going from location to location may not know this part of Wayne County if they hadn't, you know, chosen to go on the tour. It's a great way to expose other parts of the county.
We have visitors from all over that come into town to see this particular weekend.
And you mentioned your new headquarters are part of the tour as well. Again, can you remind folks who's going to be at the Wayne County Arts Alliance?
Well, our Wayne County Arts Alliance gallery and shop at 959 Main Street will be open the same hours of the tour, which is Friday, Saturday, Sunday this weekend from 10 to 6 each day. The downstairs exhibit is a tour preview. So we have two different pieces of artwork from each of the 19 tour artists. So you can stop by the gallery, pick up your brochure and map, and decide what you want to go see more of, if you like. You don't have to come to the gallery, but you can. And then upstairs, we have a completely separate exhibit called Threads, which is the fiber and quilt artwork by two other artists.
And a reminder to folks how the tour works. You mentioned that these folks that are part of it, the artists, are all set up and, you know, waiting for people. Do people need to call ahead or make a reservation, or how does it work?
Oh, just pick up a map and go. We have paper maps, obviously, at our gallery, at visitor centers, and at some area businesses. All of the same information is available on our website, WayneCountyArtsAlliance.org, and each of the studios have additional maps as well. So you can go visit one or two artists. You can make a day or 3 day of it and visit all of them. That's entirely optional. And the most important thing is it's free to the public. It's an opportunity to see some wonderful art and meet some incredibly creative people, and it doesn't need to cost anything. Of course, if you want to buy some art, that's great, too. We love that idea, but it's not required.
And, you know, on the interactive map as well online, kudos to whoever designed it, by the way, because it provides the location right there on the map. And then when you click on it, it's information about the artist. Sometimes there's a link to a website if they have one. You can review a description of the type of work that they do. So as a attendee, a tour goer, you can sort of plot out where you want to go based on some of the things you're interested in as well.
Definitely. Definitely. Some of our visitors, you know, go back to the same artist year after year, some of because they want to add to their own collections. Some visitors want to see who's new on the tour. Some visitors want to visit a studio that is near to wherever they are with whatever else they're doing this weekend. It's a busy weekend. Any weekend in the summer has so much going on in our area. So it's very individual. You can see as many or as few as you like, but we encourage you to take a peek because we have some amazingly talented people.
What other public art projects is the Alliance involved in this summer?
So summer art, we have our, this year, our summer art project is garden art totems. We have 35 different garden totems that have been created by 35 different artists that have been sponsored by businesses around Wayne County. So they're on display all summer long. They'll be there through Labor Day, and then there'll be an online auction to sell those off as a fundraiser. Also on our website, there's a map to go find all of those. You could actually explore both this weekend if you really want to. We also have, obviously, the Great Wall of Honesdale on the south end of Main Street in Honesdale. The new addition just went up at the beginning of June. So that's 12 giant prints of in original artwork.
And let's remind folks where they can get more information and the hours of the tour this weekend.
The tour is this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, July 12th, 13th, and 14th. All the studios and our tour headquarters are open from 10 to 6 each day. Our tour headquarters is at 959 Main Street, which is where the Wayne County Arts Alliance Gallery and Shop are located. We encourage you to please come visit.
And there's more information at WayneCountyArtsAlliance.org as well. We've been talking to Janet Gaglione from the Wayne County Arts Alliance. Have a great tour this weekend, and thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Tim. Have a great day.
We'll take a break, and also elsewhere around the region, it's Music Night in Phillipsport. Culture reporter Valerie Manzi has a preview next. This is Radio Chatskill.
Imagine one day your NPR station just disappeared. All the news and shows and conversations that you love, gone. Well, we have been thinking about some backup plans. Maybe Corva Coleman could read AI-generated poetry?
Potato clouds drift in a spud-filled sea in this absurd world where I roam free.
Or maybe Steve Inskeep could do some ASMR?
I'm here to guide you through a calming journey into the heart of nature.
Or Scott Simon could read the dictionary.
Oh, here's a good one. Gun-goozler. That's somebody who enjoys watching activity on canals. Ha! I'm a gun-goozler.
Actually, I would listen to Scott Simon reading the dictionary. But you rely on public radio for so much more every day. So please, help us make sure those backup plans stay on the shelf. You can support this station today.
Here's how to donate.
Give now at WJFFradio.org.
And we know you rely on Radio Catskill every day, especially to hear about these great events that are going on in our area, all over the area. So support that at 845-482-4141 or go to WJFFradio.org. It's our summer fund drive. And by making a financial contribution to Radio Catskill, not only do you ensure that we're able to bring you this local news and make it accessible to everyone, but it helps you put roots in the community and helps you grow your perspective and learn all of these great things that are happening right here in our backyard. It's the perfect opportunity for you to make a difference during our summer fund drive and helps us be able to continue to bring this local news to everyone and serving as a needed resource for everyone in the community, keeping the community connected. Even if you're not going to be able to make it out to Wayne County for the art show or the studio tour or to Phillipsport for the music center, you know that it's going on, or Calicoon for the Depot project. You're hearing just about those four things that are happening this coming weekend and next week. There's so many more things. We're trying to connect you to most all of them if we can. We're that platform to be able to bring you these things that are going on. And the only way we can do it is through your support. Local news, culture, NPR is only possible at Radio Catskill because of listener support. So support it now. Call 845-482-4141 or go to WJFFradio.org. You're listening to Radio Chatskill, and Saturday, it's Music Night at the Phillipsport Community Center in Phillipsport, New York. Culture reporter Valerie Manzi spoke to Andy Weil and Christine Soward about the event, which features the Soul City Band playing soul, disco, and the music from Motown and the funk era of the 60s and 70s.
Good morning, Andy and Christine, and welcome to Radio Chatskill.
Hi, Valerie.
Good morning.
Good. So you have quite a big event coming up on July 13th, a music night at the Phillipsport Community Center, and it's featuring Soul City event. What is that about? Tell us more.
So it's, we actually do it once a month, the second Saturday of every month.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. And we're underwritten by the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance.
Great.
So through their generosity. And we feature one band. If the weather's good, we do it outdoors. If not, we go indoors. It's an old one-room schoolhouse from the 1800s that is well cared for and well loved by the community. And yeah, we put on a music show, and I'll let Christine talk about it.
Let me just ask you this: is this throughout the year or just for the summer months?
May through October.
Oh, well, that's a nice little chunk of the year for us.
We don't heat the building, so we turn everything off, the water and
drain. Yeah. Okay. All righty, Christine, what can you tell us?
So we've been friendly with Madeline Phelan for many years and often wanted to try to get her at our music night, and she was a lot of times in between bands or as a solo trying to figure out who to duo with. So then finally we have Soul City coming, and through our grant from the DVAA, we can pay a little more for bands like Soul City. So we're really excited. They're Motown, funk, really great dance music, and looking for a great time.
Well, good. And I see it also. It's at 6:30. And with the admission, you get homemade pie and a non-alcoholic drink. So that's pretty good.
It's famous Andy's pies. Andy bakes the pies that morning. They're fresh homemade, always with some rhubarb in it.
Yes.
We've named it, it's a movement. We call it Make Pie, Not War.
Well, I like that.
Yeah.
I'm on board with that, Andy, for sure.
Yeah, wouldn't it be a beautiful world?
Yes, let's embrace it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and enjoy it. Fully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have some pie.
Right, and have some pie. Nothing like homemade pie. Can you tell us a little bit about the singer Madeline Phelan?
She's a retired teacher from Ellenville, and she's been singing her whole life. I believe she came up in the church down south singing, where a lot of soul singers did get their start. And she's a lovely woman. She's active in all kinds of things. She's very active in the Ellenville NAACP, and she'll bring her light to the event, which is contagious.
Well, that sounds wonderful. And what particular era will you be covering of soul?
60s, 70s. Maybe even some 80s.
Okay, great, great. And I see you have live musicians as well there, a bassist and a guitar.
Yeah, she's coming with a full band.
Uh-huh, and a drummer.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
The drummer is Philip Nestor.
Okay.
The keyboard and vocalist, William Beveridge. Bassist, Hank. And guitarist and vocalist Stephen Smith, along with Madeline doing vocals.
Oh, wonderful.
They play around a lot in Ulster County. I think they go out on a cruise off the Hudson River.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, sounds great. Now, where can folks get information if they want to follow up on this?
The Phillipsport Community Center has a Facebook page.
Okay.
We also, they call my cell phone number, 845-313-1772, and I can answer questions and give more information.
Great. And is there anything else you would like to add?
It's just that we have a big month coming up next month, too.
Okay. Well, we have a little time here. Tell us about what you have coming up so folks know.
So next month we have August 10th is our regular music night, and we're doing a concert for peace with Chris Cirilla Spinner, backed up by Stephen Schwartz and Kenny Windheim. Just a little kind of, you know, calm in the storm.
Yes.
We also have a yard sale scholarship fund.
Ah, good.
And then a special event on Friday, August 30th. There's a musician coming from Ireland, Connor Mallon, who's playing in some big cities. And they were looking for some little venues to kind of fill up his time. So we will have him on August 30th, which is a Friday, same hours and deal as our regular music night. He's playing Irish Julian pipes.
And wow.
And he'll be backed up with band members.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
But by the way, this month we are going to give out three small scholarships to some Ellenville graduates. We're going to open with that. So that's kind of special for us. We like doing that every year.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So we're very community-minded, the community center.
Well, it's the Phillipsport Community Center. And if folks Google that, I'm sure they'll come to the webpage.
No, I don't think the webpage has been updated.
Okay.
Yeah, Facebook is a better option.
Oh, Facebook. Oh, okay. So it's Phillipsport Community Center on Facebook. So folks know, and they can see, since you have a number of other events coming up, what fits into their schedule.
Yeah. So I just recently saw a Tom Petty quote that I kind of like, and it kind of applies to what we got going. And the quote is, if people forget about their problems for 2 hours, I did my job.
Oh, wonderful.
That's kind of what Music Night is in Phillips
Court.
People come, they gather, they socialize, they forget about it. It's a beautiful setting, and the music's great. The company's great. The pie is great. And so it's a nice thing.
Okay, so just to recap, the performance we're talking about is coming up July 13th, and that's at 6:30, and it's at the Phillipsport Community Center. And you can go to Facebook or call 845-313-1772 for more information. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to do this and offer these wonderful programs to our community. And have a great event.
Thank you,
Valerie.
Yeah, and thank you for promoting it.
You are welcome.
And thanks to culture reporter Valerie Manzi for that report from Phillipsport Music Night in Phillipsport. I'm Tim Bruno, and joined in the studio by Mimi Bradley, our development manager. Hi, how are you?
Hello. You.
Oh, there you are. You're there on the other mic. Not that mic.
I'm right here.
There you are. Hi.
Hi. I really want some pie right now.
Oh, my gosh. Everybody has pie. Today's theme was pie, it seems like.
It was. But today's theme really is Summer Fund Drive.
Yes, it is. It is our Summer Fund Drive. And we're kind of stuck. We're going to say we had some momentum this morning, and then we got stuck now. 24% of our goal, just over $12,000. It's a $50,000 goal. Now, our deadline isn't until July 20th, which is next Friday. There's a little bit of runway, but we really want to get this going. And we know, based on experience here, that we need some momentum going into the weekend. We've got Honesdale night tonight with
it's gonna
our
be great.
Great volunteers there, live from Honesdale. But we need to hear from you. If you haven't donated yet, this is the time, 845-482-4141.
Or go on our website, wjffradio.org. And also, I was going to say, sorry to interrupt you, Tim. If you are one of those people who got one of our letters and you see it sitting on the counter and you haven't sent it back, at this point, go online or give us a call. 845-482-4141. We would love to hear from you, and we want to hear from you today.
Yeah, we feel like because of the July 4th holiday, some of the mail got stuck in their system a little bit because it's trickled in the last couple of days. No shade to the USPS, but just
none
saying
at
that
all.
Seems to be what's happened. So yeah, if you put it back in the mail, we might not get it till later. So just, go online or give us a call, 845-482-4141. The other thing you could do is drop it off at our pool party.
We'd love to see you at our pool party on Sunday. Blue Fox Motel, 4 to 8 p.m. There's going to be a beautiful big pool, snacks, a cash bar, and Jason Tuga DJing.
Jason Tuga is going to be DJing yet again. It was so fun last year. He was just spinning some really, really great tunes. It looks like it's going to be nice there, too, on Sunday, 86. Sunny, partly cloudy, I guess. So maybe a little bit more humidity, but nothing like we've seen in the last few days, it seems.
Sounds like a good day to get in the pool.
It does sound like a
good
day. With
other WJFF Radio Catskill listeners and lovers. So come on by.
Be cool. Cool off in the pool on Sunday. That's from 4 to 8 at Blue Fox Motel in Narrowsburg. Snacks, cash bar, and a $10 suggested donation. All of it going to the fund drive. Or again, like we said, if you got one of those letters and you haven't returned it, bring it on over.
Yep. Or give me a call today. 845-482-4141.
Another thing is we want to thank our sound supporters, all of the folks who have been supporting us with their monthly donation throughout the years. Consistently, we know that that money is there. We could bank on that coming in, and that helps us a lot.
And it's so easy for you.
And if you haven't done that, though, really, think about doing it.
Think about doing it. All you have to do is give us a credit card once, comes out every month. It's super simple, and it keeps us going. So please consider becoming a sound supporter.
845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org is how you can learn more about the sound supporter program. Some other stations call it a sustainer. It's the same thing, sustaining us throughout the year. And you know that you are sending it without having to think about it. It's another way to break up a larger amount as well. So if you don't have $240 right now that you could donate, you could put that as a sound supporter and
Absolutely.
Spread it out monthly. 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. Mimi, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
I'm sure the phones are going to go ringing off the hook right now.
I hope so. And thank you to our listeners. And for those of you who haven't donated, please do. We're waiting for you.
We need to hear from you now. Stay cool. Be cool. Donate during our summer fun drive. 845-482-4141. WJFFradio.org. Programming note that later this evening, President Biden will be giving a press conference at the NATO summit. NPR will provide special coverage and we'll bring that to you later this afternoon when it becomes available. Stay tuned for that. And also, as I mentioned, Honesdale night. Jason's going over to our Honesdale studio at 4 for All Things Considered and then staying on with the crew in Honesdale to talk about all the great things that are going on with the music and volunteers from our Honesdale studio there. That's all for this edition of Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Thank you for listening.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Narrowsburg Union and Catskills Curated, presenting products of regional artists, artisans, makers, and craftsmen. Gift wrapping and shipping available on site. NarrowsburgUnion.com. The Cooperage Project in Honesdale, dedicated to building community through performance, learning, markets, and good times. TheCooperageProject.org. And from listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Radio Catskill's Summer Fun Drive is happening now. We know it's a busy time of year. It's hot. There's a lot going on. That's why you should stick with Radio Catskill, because we're cool for the summer.
Cool for the summer.
We've got local news, culture, and NPR. What's cooler than NPR?
OMG, it's the coolest.
Come on in. The radio's fine. Make your donation at WJFFradio.org, and you'll be cool for the summer.
Cool for the summer.
That's right. Cool for the summer. Call us at 845-482-4141 or donate at WJFFradio.org during our summer fun drive. This is WJFF Jeffersonville, streaming live at WJFFradio.org, Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR. Today, not as warm, not as steamy, a high of 80, partly sunny, maybe a passing shower, partly cloudy tonight, a low of 62. Tomorrow could see a thunderstorm in the afternoon. A little bit more humid, high 81, and then highs in the mid-80s on the weekend with the possibility of some evening showers.